His engine roared as the prop thrust us forward and off the hill we were camped on. I looked behind us to see where we'd been stranded for the past week until it disappeared from sight. We flew over a black bear with two cubs and a couple of moose before arriving at our next location. All I could think was, God, what you have made is awesome. As we approached the area where we were going to touch down, the pilot called for me to look below and off to the right. Only 100 feet below us was a huge double shovel caribou limping and alone, but it was being followed by a 1,000-pound grizzly just waiting for the caribou to give up. I asked, are we really going to land there? The pilot assured me I'd be all right, but he also instructed me to make sure I took my rifle when he dropped me off. Well, unfortunately, I'd left my rifle back at camp, and there wouldn't be enough fuel to retrieve it and make it back to Anchorage. The pilot looked at me as if to say, boy, where are you from? But then he calmly turned back around, reached under his seat, and pulled out his secret weapon. It was an AR-15, which is the civilian model of the military's M16. If the bear got too close, he said, just fire off a couple of rounds in the bear's general direction, and it'll leave you alone. I'm thinking, yeah, right. As the plane took off to go back and pick up Ralph, I kept a keen eye on that bear. It was circling about a quarter of a mile away, still following the wounded caribou while trying to figure out what I was. Starting to believe that the bear was more interested in the caribou than it was in me, I began to explore the area. I walked about 200 yards until I came to an incredibly steep rock face that kept going down and down below my position until it intersected with the ground floor some 500 feet below. I remember thinking, I'd never want to be in a plane wreck up here because nobody would ever find you. I no sooner said that to myself when I spotted something red and white about 75 feet below me on the rocks. There, smashed like a balsa wood model, was a small bush plane. My stomach went up into my throat as I made my way to the plane, not knowing what or whom I might find. I was thankful when I got there because the plane was empty, but I couldn't imagine how someone could have ever survived that kind of a crash. Well, before long, I again heard the sound of the small engine plane returning to pick me up. And after loading my stuff in the plane, the pilot turned her around and headed into the wind. I breathed a sigh of relief as he climbed to altitude, and we began to relive the adventure, talking over the deafening sound of the prop wash. We knew we had had the kind of adventure that we could tell our children's children about and share with other adventure seekers around many campfires for years to come. There's a saying that goes something like this, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Another saying is, it's not over till it's over. Well, the flight out was going smoothly. The weather was clear behind us and looked clear in front of us until we got about halfway through the mountain passes on the trek back to Anchorage. As the skies above us began to drop, we kept flying lower and lower. 2,000 feet, 1,500 feet, 1,000 feet, 500 feet. The pilot turned around to us and said, boys, start looking for a place to ditch the plane below because there are no runways and this weather is forcing us down quickly. No runways? No fields? Surely there are fields. Come on, I've been living in Indiana for the previous 4 years, and there were nothing but fields in Indiana. All I could see below was a winding stream, rocks, and some trees. The pilot got on his radio and put out a mayday as someone needed to know where we were located in case we crashed. We kept waiting, but there was no response, and the clouds were forcing us even lower, 400 feet, 300 feet, 200 feet. I think at that point, I was praying even harder than I had when the bear came into our camp a couple of nights earlier. Just as the pilot was ready to take the plane down and risk landing on a creek, a voice came over the radio. I don't remember the call sign or what he said. I just remember that he offered us a small runway a couple of miles ahead. The bad news was that they said we weren't allowed to land there because it was private property. The good news was that our courageous, half-crazed bush pilot said, I don't care what you say, we're landing. The person on the other end of the radio guided us to the location through the worst fog and clouds I had ever seen, until we saw the runway just below our plane and we touched down safely. God had heard our cries again. So, what did I learn from this last experience? A lot. But the thing that I'm left with is that had the person on the other end of the radio not been there, we would have surely died in a high-speed crash into the rocks below. I've thought about that event 1,000 times in my mind. We had been flying with visual flight restrictions on this trip. That was okay, as long as we could see everything in front of us. However, when the storms sucked us in, we were blinded and headed for certain death. With modern technology, we now have GPS, global positioning systems, to guide us and help us find our way, even when we cannot see the way in front of us. God has given us the promised Holy Spirit in a world that is full of danger. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual GPS unit, or like I like to say, God's positioning system. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is only one way out of the wilderness, and that is by following the right path. Jesus said, "There is only one way out of the spiritual wilderness, and that is through believing in Him." So what have we learned in this journey together? Maybe it's that God has made you for so much more. Maybe we've learned how trials can be gifts. Or maybe you've come to realize just how much the Father loves you. Or could it be that we've experienced just a taste of what heaven might be like? This God who created waterfalls, great white sharks, and 10-foot grizzly bears created you. He is a God of unbelievable imagination and adventure, and is the potter who molded this incredible thing called life.